Good morning, everyone. My name is Leslie Keller, and I will be your conference operator. Welcome to Mexarend's first quarter 2020 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's remarks, and instructions on how to proceed will be given at that time. Mexarend issued its quarterly report on Monday, April 27th, after the market closed. If you did not receive the report, please contact the Investor Relations team and they will email it to you. Please note that this call is for investors and analysts only, and questions from the media will not be taken, nor should the call be reported on. Any forward-looking statements made during this conference call are based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the disclaimer in the earnings release for guidance on this matter. Today, we are joined by Mexarend's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Alejandro Monsol Rosa, and Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abelardo Loscos, both of whom will discuss the company's performance. I will now turn over the call to Mr. Alejandro Monsol. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to our first quarter 2020 conference call. I would like to wish each one of you and your families good as we navigate these difficult times. Moving on, I will start by addressing our strategy to protect our company in the face of the global COVID-19 pandemic, while we continue to support Mexican SMEs through this unprecedented time. Over our 20 years of history, we have faced a range of challenges, including various political and economic crises. We are confident that thanks to our robust business model, we will overcome this new crisis, as we have in the past, and that we will come out of this a better and more resilient company. We have always been prudent in the management of our company and prioritized portfolio quality and liquidity over growth. This will be key in helping us navigate the current situation. As previously communicated, the well-being of our employees, customers, and the community is paramount. As such, we are working remotely, which is functioning well thanks in part to our investments in technology over the years, assuring our business continuity. We are in frequent contact with our clients, monitoring our portfolio in a timely fashion, managing our balance sheet and internal processes without any hitches. Given the current situation, we are focused on maintaining a strong balance sheet and high levels of liquidity, and keeping capitalization rates high. At this time, portfolio growth will in any case be limited due to the economic recession and negative impact on many industries of the COVID-19 outbreak. The slowdown in originations will boost our cash flows and capital levels. As mentioned in our COVID-19 update earlier in March, the company has no major amortizations due this year and ample liquidity to meet its financial requirements. At the end of the first quarter 2020, cash and cash equivalents stood at 1.5 billion pesos. Prudent management of our liabilities remains a key priority, and as always, we continue to seek alternative, attractive funding sources as they become available. Complementing our strong liquidity position and diversified portfolio, we also have FX hedging in place on our US dollar denominated bonds. However, given the depreciation of the peso, in the first quarter there was an accounting increase in financial liabilities and a reduction in capital on the balance sheet. This corresponds only to accounting effects. The exchange rate at the end of the quarter was over 24 pesos, with our debt hedge in dollars at around the 19 peso level. The only additional debt taken out in the first quarter of 2020 was in February, corresponding to our Cebures short-term program, and it was for 270 million pesos at a very competitive rate, impact lower than previous transactions. As I have mentioned, our priority is to preserve the quality of our portfolio, maintaining close relationships with our clients and understanding their liquidity needs under this situation. Therefore, we are focused on working closely with our client base and, when necessary, giving our clients more flexibility on their payments and easing their obligations over the coming months and the rest of the year, while always ensuring that the required guarantees are in place and considering the profitability of each transaction. Before I hand the call over to Abelardo, I would like to take a moment to talk about the importance of sustainability. We are very proud of two achievements in the first quarter of 2020. First, being awarded the title of Socially Responsible Company, and secondly, joining the United Nations Global Compact. Both endorse our work and reinforce our commitment to continuing our efforts of becoming an even more sustainable company under the best international practices and to have a positive impact in Mexico. Finally, I would like to remind everyone of the importance of communication with the market, investors, clients, and each institution we interact with on a daily basis. We remain fully committed to helping our country and our clients recover from these difficult times. With this, I will now like to turn the call over to Abelardo.
Thank you, Alejandro, and to everyone for joining us today. Moving on to our financials, our year got off to a good start until the COVID crisis hit. First quarter 2020 revenues were up compared to the same period in 2019, with an increase of 12.7% to 384.9 million pesos. Cost and expense efficiencies, along with increasing the size of the portfolio, led to positive operating results. Operating income grew by 31.1%, with the margin increasing from 12% to 14% in the first quarter 2020. As demonstrated by our improved margins, Mexarent continues to focus on more profitable business lines. For this reason, we largely exited equipment financing, which fell to 3.8 million pesos for the quarter, from 71 million pesos in the first quarter 2019. We remain confident that this will lead to a higher quality and more profitable business over the long term. First quarter 2020 gross profit increased by 16.4% compared to first quarter 2019. Reaching 129.5 million for the quarter, while gross margins improved by 100 basis points from 32.6% to 33.6% compared to same quarter last year. Operating income for the quarter increased by 30.9% to end the first quarter of 2020 at 53.7 million pesos. The margins were enhanced by effective cost control to minimize operating expenses and the benefits of scale. Interest expense for the quarter increased from 150.8 million pesos in the first quarter 2019 to 221.6 million in the first quarter 2020. Despite a weak economy and the initial effects of the COVID-19 outbreak beginning in March, SME asset-backed lending continued to grow in Mexico during the last 12 months, with the portfolio reaching almost 9 billion pesos, an increase of 32.1%. This highlights the demand of our key product. The consumer goods manufacturing sector continued to represent the majority of our portfolio at 36.2%, with the industrial sector not far behind at 31.8%. It is important to mention that the exposure to sectors that have been directly affected with major shutdowns like hospitality, restaurants, and retail is quite limited, representing a minor fraction of our current portfolio. We are aware that the economic impact will extend across all the industry sectors and geographies, so we will be monitoring this closely. The majority of our portfolio continues to be based in Mexico City, at 34%. The state of Mexico has increased to 32%, and the remaining 34% comes from a combination of other states, underlying our geographic diversity. In addition, NPLs remain at a stable level of 5.3% of our total loan book, which demonstrates we can continue to grow our portfolio rapidly without sacrificing its quality. We recognize that asset quality will become a challenge as the economy enters into recession. For that reason, we remain in close contact with all clients, allowing our team to spot credit risks early on and address any possible NPL contributions. We are doing this by reassessing leasing obligations and renegotiating the terms of contract while improving the collateral position. So far, we are not seeing any material negative impact on asset quality, although the recession is only just beginning. Total assets at the end of March grew by over 1.1 billion pesos since the end of 2019, reaching 11.7 billion pesos. Cash and cash equivalents amounted to a high 1.5 billion pesos. This figure has decreased from 2 billion pesos at the end of 2019 as proceeds from the 2022-24 bond continue to be cautiously allocated, and the first coupon on the bond was paid in January 2020. Total liabilities at the end of the year increased from 6.4 billion pesos in the first quarter 2019 to 10.7 billion pesos at the end of first quarter 2020 due to the exchange rate devaluation. As Alejandro mentioned, considering the hedges on principal that we have for our debt in US dollars, the leverage ratio for the quarter was 5.3 times and 4.3 times considering net debt. The comprehensive financing cost increased by 19.1% over the period due to foreign exchange losses as a result of the depreciation in the exchange rate. However, the exchange rate hedges that we have in place for this reason revalued at the same time, implying no underlying economic impact from the devaluation. As you will be aware, on March 26, 2020, S&P lowered Mexico's long-term global sovereign ratings in foreign and local currency due to expected impact of COVID-19 on the country and the resulting global uncertainty and fall in oil prices. As a result of the above, the ratings of the country's financial institutions were adjusted down. This was also reflected in the Mexican rating, which dropped from BB- to B+. It remains on special negative watch, which will be evaluated in the coming months, taking into account the company's most up-to-date results that reflect the current macroeconomic environment. As Alex mentioned, we are taking prudent measures to navigate the economic downturn. The company's first priority is to preserve its liquidity. This concludes my remarks. Thank you all for listening. I am now going to hand the call back to the operator for the Q&A.
We will now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please enter star 8 on your telephone. In case your question has been answered, you may cancel it by pressing star 8 again. As a reminder, if you have a question, please enter star 8 on your telephone. In case your question has been answered, you may cancel it by pressing star 8 again. The first question is from Mr. Evan Garcia from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Alejandro, Abelardo, thank you very much for the call. let me start with a couple of questions. So I think you mentioned that you have been proactive in reaching out to clients to renegotiate contracts. Can you give us a sense of what type of renegotiations you're offering and to what percentage of clients? If you could comment on that. And then the other question that I have is more on the outlook of collections as well as originations. So some of your peers have been providing guidance into or commenting as to how much collections have been decreasing from expectations. So if you can comment in terms of collections decline versus expectation, and similarly origination expectations for the year, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Well, in terms of the renegotiations of leases, typically what we are trying to do is not to do one fit all, but rather understand the reality of each one of the clients and of the industries and try to accommodate a tailor-made solution. Basically, what we are offering a number of clients is reduced payments for the next couple of months, and in some cases all the way to the end of the year, and then an increase in the tenor to recover that reduction in payments, maintaining the profitability of the transaction. Whenever we do this, we always try to increase our collateral positions to make sure that there is a collateral surplus throughout the transaction. In terms of collections and originations, our outlook for origination, we believe it's gonna be significantly reduced for the rest of the year. We are already feeling the recession and the demand, at least in April, and we think it's gonna be the same case in May. It's gonna be low. We are also being very careful with the industries we grant credit as the. We're basically waiting to see where this recession ends, or this first part of the recession ends, and work from there. In terms of collection, in March, collections were actually in line with the expectations and with historic levels. In April, we are seeing a reduction, but most of that reduction is going to be due to the renegotiation of the agreements. At this point, we are cautiously optimistic that NPLs are not going to increase by a lot. But again, I mean, we need to see how deep the recession goes and how long the lockdown still takes us in the next coup. But we are working really close with the clients and trying to be very proactive. That's what I can say.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. Our next question is from Mr. Nicolas Riva from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first one on the FX hedge. So I understand you booked a loss in the income statement because of the depreciation of the peso and the impact on the U.S. dollar denominated debt. Now, I understand that you are fully hedged in terms of principal and coupon payments for this debt. So I would assume that on the equity side in the balance sheet, you would need to have an offsetting gain on that if you are fully hedged. But we didn't see that. It seems that we saw a loss both in the income statement and also directly in the balance sheet. Why was that the case? Why didn't you have a mark-to-market gain on the FX hedge? I would assume you're long dollars on that hedge. And then the second question, which is kind of related because of what happened with these derivatives, we saw a decline in your capital ratios. You mentioned in the press release that there's been a change in the shareholders agreement and that the option to contribute with more equity has been extended to the end of the year. Given what happened with capital ratios in this first quarter, there's a significant drop. Are the shareholders contemplating to do then a capital increase in the short term? Anything you can say in terms of timing or size? Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Nicolas. Well, in terms of the hedge, yes, we are fully hedged, both coupons and principal. The way hedge accounting works, it's we post an FX loss, a very large FX loss in our income statements due to the increase on FX and therefore the increase on the peso denominated debt. And that increase was offset by the derivatives, basically eliminating the loss in the P&L. Then you have an increase in the mark-to-market valuation of the derivatives that you can see in our asset side. However, the increase in the mark-to-market, it's not equal to the size of the FX movement in the debt, and that difference is posted in your OCI, other comprehensive income. That's basically just an account that it's temporal and it goes out in time as the derivative comes to maturity. So basically, this decrease in capital and this it's due 100% for the mismatch between the mark-to-market value of the derivatives and the FX increase in debt due to the FX increase. I don't know if that's basically the way hedge accounting works.
But so then, Alejandro, so then we should expect that that difference, even though the difference might get smaller as the hedge gets closer to maturity and as your USD debt gets closer to maturity, but that difference is going to persist, and therefore, if the peso continues depreciating, then we might see further losses, not only in the income statement, which is something we would expect, but also on the balance sheet.
On the income statement, you shouldn't see losses because of hedge accounting. What you will see is that the tenor of the debt matures, and if once the debt goes to maturity at the final moment, basically you will be paying only the $300 million times 19, which is the value of the hedge, and at that point, mm-hmm. all the effect that you have in your OCI will disappear, basically. So that's.
But one thing, that's the so in the income statement, of course, you would book first the translation, the FX translation loss, just because you owe a certain amount of debt in dollars, which translated into pesos is worth more if the peso depreciates, no? So that's just the impact on the US dollar debt without the hedge. The mark-to-market of the hedge, does any of that flow through the income statement or it just flows against equity in the balance sheet?
Okay, the mark-to-market is posted in the asset side, and what flows through your income statement, if you go to page 23, what you will see on page 23 is that you have a net loss of $1.7 billion due to the increase in the value of debt in pesos, but then you have an offsetting figure of 1.7 billion pesos that it's due to the derivatives that we have. At the end of the day, as you can see, the net effect is basically zero on the P&L. So that's correct. The way hedge accounting works. And then you have on your asset side, you post the increase in the mark-to-market of your derivatives. However, the increase in the mark-to-market of derivatives sometimes is not as big as the movement on the income statement, and the difference is posted in the OCI. So that's why you see the reduction on capital.
Okay. So for capital, from a capital standpoint, you are not then fully hedged in a way. You are fully hedged in terms of the P&L and impact on the earnings, but you're not fully hedged for capital purposes.
And from economic purposes, cash flow purposes, I'm fully hedged, and this is just the way hedge accounting works. Basically.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alejandro.
And in terms of your second question, the option of the shareholders to inject equity in the company was extended till the end of this year. The amount of the option is $20 million. And we are, you know, talking with the shareholders. They are evaluating options, and it's still there. It's an option, and we'll decide as we see how this economic situation develops.
Okay. Thanks very much, Alejandro. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. Our next question is from Mr. Roberto Pratt from MetLife. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Roberto Pratt. If you could please comment about your access to banking credit facilities and access to the local capital market, and if you are being able to roll over maturities, and if there is any support of development banks for your funding. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. Well, in terms of our banking relationship, we are working with a number of local and international banks in warehouse facility structures, and we believe we are in the good track to have something in place in the very near future. In terms of the rollover, we just rollover a percentage of our short-term program in Mexico Asegures. We did this transaction last week and was pretty successful. And so far, we continue having access to this short-term facility in the capital markets. And we believe our access to credit remains there. The performance of the company, the performance of the portfolio, it's there. We're also working with a number of development banks, both local and international development banks, to also have some warehouse structures and long-term facilities in place again in the near future. In terms of support from the local development banks to companies like ours, I mean, there's been a lot of conversations in the market. So far, we haven't seen anything formal or in writing, but we are talking to them, and if something becomes available, we're sure going to be working with them.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. As a reminder, if you have a question, please enter *8 on your telephone. In case your question has been answered, you may cancel it by pressing *8 again. Our next question is from Mr. Evan Garcia from Invesco. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I put myself back online. Thanks. A couple of questions, additional questions from my side. One, perhaps if you can comment on your dialogue with rating agencies. As you mentioned, you were downgraded, but mainly on the methodology of notching relative to the sovereign. However, given that deterioration on your capitalization ratios and leverage, that's also on the fundamental front, you are seen weaker. So that might trigger additional downgrades by the agencies, not on the sovereign and methodology, but more on the company's fundamentals. What is the dialogue? Where do you stand on the dialogue with both Fitch and S&P on this front? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, we have continuous conversations with both agencies. In fact, as you know, we were in a negative credit watch by Fitch. and that they just announced that they are, based on the good performance of the company by the end of the year, they were increasing the length for the analysis, which we think was a good sign. In terms of the new capitalization ratios, we strongly believe that since the reduction on capitalization ratios has to do only with the OCI, which has no economic impact, it's just an accounting situation that it's not controllable by the company and that does not incorporate additional economic risks for the company, we should be in a good position. The operating performance of the company was strong during the quarter, and so basically we continue in conversations with them, and we believe we are delivering in our promises.
So just to clarify what you just mentioned regarding Fitch, so Fitch Fitch mentioned that they will give you additional time to resolve for them to resolve the rating watch negative. Is that what you said?
That's correct, Adrian. They extended the period to review it with the results from the third quarter 2020. So that's what was communicated by them.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question. That was the last question. I will now hand over to Mr. Abelardo Loscos for final comments.
Thank you all for joining the call. Please feel free to reach us with any additional questions, and we hope you and your families stay well. Thank you for participating.
That concludes today's call. You may now disconnect.